liberty, and justice for all.
All right, we have some public input from members of the public, and we're going to start off with Dennis Rundy, please. Mr. Rundy, if you'll state your name and address for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Awesome. Dennis Rundy, 9975 Cherry Hills, Avenue Plaza East, Bradenton, Florida, 34202. Hi, nice to see everybody again. I saw quite a few of you at graduation. I was the guy with the big poofy hat. That night, I have a little short story to share with you. One of my former students, college algebra student, approached me. And after, she's a very successful student with me, after me, she completed the pre-calculus sequence, the calculus sequence, and she told me, and she graduated with honors that night, she told me she was going on to Embry-Riddle University to study mechanical engineering. Okay. I'm getting response right now. This is what SCF is excellent at. Okay. And we do this a large part because of the faculty we have here. And that's really my point of being here for public comment tonight. I've got one more year to have those nice stories to build up. After that, I assume the college will replace me, and I assume that we'll be trying to attract the best and the brightest out there. That's what we've always done, and that's where I'm worried. And I'm worried because I feel our salary for faculty is falling behind the cost of living. And I was just told that I'm not supposed to do handouts, but I'm glad to share these with you. I'll be here for the whole meeting. Just to give you some stats, these are all available publicly online, and it also ties to our collective bargaining agreement, which was signed in 2019. So since 2019, the Social Security cost of living, you always hear it as COLA, those total 20.7% increase. Consumer Price Index for the Tampa-St. Petersburg area, which I'm told is the closest area that we have to this area, those total, the CPI increases, total 28.6% during that same time period. Now, the increase in faculty salaries during that same time period total 12%. Okay, so we have 20.7, 28.7, and then what we've been increased was 12%. Now, there were, to be fair, there was 2 one-time wage actions included in there, which we gladly were very happy to have those, but those raised, but then the following year went back to the previous level. So, again, I'm a numbers guy. I've got these numbers compiled. It's something unusual for math that I used a little color in my presentation. And I'd be glad to share these with you. I'm going to have some colleagues up here come up in just a few minutes and share some other more personal stories with their recollections, but I wanted to put these numbers out there because I'm a numbers guy and I want you to have the facts. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next we have Philip Travis.
Somebody else is the duck quacker with phone. I thought I was the only old duck quack ringer.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Philip Travis, 203 44th Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34209. So I'm the Faculty Senate President, and I'm speaking today because I want to ask that the admin really consider a long-term strategy to raise faculty salaries. As the cost of living has increased significantly here in the Sarasota Bradenton area, college administration removed step increases from faculty salaries. For those who don't know, these were basically annual small percentage bumps to people's salaries. This happened about 14 years ago. To be clear, members of the trustees, SCF faculty received no bonuses, no annual salary increases. Professional development, including college courses, which are required for many individuals to promote, are not fully compensated, they're not fully covered. And today, with cost of living skyrocketing, the only way one can earn more is through promotion, which is a huge undertaking, and for many requires requires substantial out-of-pocket expense. Again, college coursework is expensive. It used to be that you could take a much more affordable class, a self-taught sort of class, to earn that professional development credit. And they removed that, so they made it that much more difficult. Admin did. Every year, the faculty here come before a seemingly unwilling administration and ask for raises with mixed success. SEF admin must create a request, a long-term plan that will regularly address wage increases if it is to hold true to its own pledge of offering competitive salaries. We plan for major building projects. We plan for these types of things. We should also plan for building a competitive salary schedule. Because if you have a real competitive salary schedule in this environment, cost of living, which is all well documented, you're going to retain quality faculty, and you're going to attract quality faculty. And if you talk to faculty who are on hiring committees, they will attest that it has gotten more and more difficult to attract faculty from the institution, and that's directly related to compensation. So if we can create a long-term path, whether it is doing something like step increases, annual wage increases, in addition to people earning promotion, it could go a long way to providing the sort of path that would allow for us to address, you know, faculty salaries with respect to an unprecedented growth in the cost of living in this area. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, next we have Jennifer Beeslin. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Jennifer Beeslin. My address is 3621 Avenue de Madeira, Bradenton. Are you waiting for me? Oh, yeah. Right. So my girlfriend's best friend, not best friend, her father said, show me your budget and I'll tell you your priorities. So he always says. And I have to say, when I looked at the preliminary budget in the packet tonight, I was really depressed. For many, many reasons, as you can tell, there was no increase to faculty salaries. So, kind of made it clear that we're not the priority here, and I just come to talk to you to tell you that I'm not alone when I say I work 7 days a week. 7 days a week for our students. We had a hand here, a hand there. People are raising their hands if you want to turn around to look. We work 7 days a week because we are committed to our students. They are our number one priority. They're our number one stakeholder. Without us, you have no students. Without students, none of us have a job. So we had some of our CPAs look at our budget and did a review of the reserves and the expenses, and they said that they would be willing to work with Julie and our admin. They said absolutely from fund one, we have unrestricted funds. We absolutely can fund faculty salary increases. Absolutely, 100%. They're willing to work with us, with the State College of Florida, for free. CPAs for free, that doesn't happen, folks, in the United States. So I ask, I extend the olive branch if you would like to work with our CPAs. They'd be happy to do that so that you could look at ways to take money from Fund 1 to actually fund faculty raises. Down the road, about an hour and 30 minutes, FSW, so Florida Southwestern College, they pay base. This is for a master's. Their base starting salary is a little over $51,000. Our base starting salary, that's for the master's. Ours is a little under $41,000. That's a $10,000 difference. $10,000 in Fort Myers. That's not right for our faculty. So, you know, I've got the email from Dr. P, and congratulations to Steve and to Cassandra, your VPs. Congratulations, and I mean that with the greatest sincerity. I'm sure that those reclassifications do come with higher salaries. And I just ask that when you look at the budget, there are ways to find money, and we do not need money for beautification of the college. We do not need ceramic tile here. We do not need an upgrade in furniture. We need to commit to our faculty, who commit to our students, and our faculty who have not only committed to our students, but to this college and to our community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next, Catherine Bazura. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hello, I am Catherine Bazura. I am at 207 32nd Street West in Bradenton, 34205. As professors, we tell our students that they must be mindful of their most precious resource, time. This audience understands that concept. I got 3 minutes. So I brought a visual aid. We're going through some guided pathway stuff, trying to figure out how to keep kids in school and college. There's registration. This is the college experience. Here's graduation. Between that registration and graduation is that college experience. Why do so many lose their way? Why? We're starting to get a clearer picture in the research, our data, and anecdotal evidence that students want connection and belonging, whether they meet with us online or in person. Your experienced faculty are the glue of the student experience. How do we teach students to learn when they have a cyborg in their pocket? There was innovation during COVID. There was a shift in curriculum. There is AI. We have weathered this. When administration asked us to get on a plane that was still under construction, we boarded that plane and we flew. And now we look around and survey the territory. What is our role? Jen Beeslin and I are working to design and pilot a program to train faculty to coach students through their college experience with new strategies for building a community for resilience and acquiring needed skills to get to graduation and then into the workforce. 210 students enter the pilot this fall. Our student advisor ratio is 800-1. Feels important to get this to scale. I'm invested. My 2 sons both are over at SEFCS. Congratulations to Kelly Minot for her AVP. Well deserved. My Finnegan got a 1420 on his junior year SAT. Very proud. I teach my courses and do all this while I check Zillow to see if I can afford to live here if my landlord decides to sell my house. I want the answer to be yes so I can stay where I was born in Florida. After the deaths of both of my parents, I had the chance to think about it. My base pay after taxes and mandatory deductions is $2,736 per month over 12 months. My rent is $1,995 or 72% of my after-tax income. As a former vice president in small business and an entrepreneur, I know what to do when the balance sheet is off. Earnings are not reflecting the current marketplace for what I am producing. I want to stay to be the adult in the room for our students, but I can't responsibly continue to do it if I can't keep the lights on at home.
Next is Colleen Page. State your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Colleen Page, 6960 White Willow Court, Sarasota, Florida, 34243. Hi, everyone. I've already introduced myself. I want to let you know I teach public speaking here at the State College of Florida. In my year as lecturer from 2022 to 2023, I made less than a groundskeeper at the State College of Florida. At the time, my wage was $34,000. I was told I could not negotiate my salary. The first time in my life I was ever told such a thing. I was an adjunct for 7 years prior to the lecturer position and did not receive a raise. Most of the time, I taught 5 classes per semester and summer session. Most of my classes exceeded enrollment caps, too. As an instructor, I currently make less than 3 of the bottom wage rungs on this campus. And this is according to the Florida Department of Education salaries of selected positions from 2022 to 2023. Those 3 positions are a maintenance supervisor, a library paraprofessional, and a tradesman. I'm not disparaging anybody's work classification, but I'm here to tell you I have a master's degree and 30 years of experience in corporate communications, as well as positions held in the media, both talent and management. I love what I teach, and I'm inspired every day to transfer my knowledge and experience into the minds of my students. I am increasingly frustrated by the feeling I am not valued. My wage does not reflect that I am. Some advice for each and every one of you seated around this room tonight. Those of you responsible for decisions which will transform this college, raise wages for faculty, and highly qualified faculty will stay. Have salaries that attract highly qualified faculty, or faculty will continue to leave, and faculty searches will continue to fail from lack of applicants. We championed during COVID. We championed during hurricane recovery too. Faculty are the foundation, and we're all on the same team. We're all on the same team. Administration, the board, faculty, and students. Lose part of your team, and I promise you will not win this marathon. Increasing the wages of your faculty is a long-term investment, and this is long overdue. You need to start valuing and considering the faculty part of your team. I thank you all very much.
All right. Thank you to all our speakers. Next, we have the President's Report. Dr. Grossfeld.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before you, you have my report, really kind of reflecting back on the students that we graduated most recently. And thank you for those of you who could join us at our commencement ceremonies. Once again, I think they went very well. You can see that we're quite crowded. We may be looking to how we have to do yet another. So you might have three choices on when you come for commencement. But trying to break out down a little bit more some of those, particularly in the health sciences. These tend to be some of our most expensive programs, but they're also those programs where our students are rapidly employed, often even before they graduate. So you can read that at your own leisure as we go forward. I am going to end my report there, Mr. Chair, and ask Ryan Hale if he would do that mission moment.
So one of the things that we do annually is review missions. Generally, we review our mission as part of the update to the strategic plan. We should have provided that in the form of 10-year look back, 10-year look forward. We discussed the mission at that point. One of the things that we need to do that we recognize as an important piece of that is in the review, we wanted to formalize that a little bit. Have you look at the mission, review it, and then either provide a vote that you want to maintain it as is or that we should consider adjusting it. So we're going to look that over tonight just to kind of formalize that vote this time. And then going forward, we would expect to just do this as part of the review of the strategic plan that we do that right now. So our mission, and we included the vision and values here too. The mission, State College of Florida, Manatee, Sarasota, guided by measurable standards and institutional excellence, provides engaging and accessible learning environments that result in student success and community prosperity. Is there any discussion that any board members feel that they would like to have about this? It is your position in writing to the board to discuss the mission and to review and recommend that we would look at it. It wouldn't necessarily be typical for a school like us to change the mission frequently, and it does align very closely to what statute says our mission should be.
Pardon?
What was the last time they changed
it? It was revised when I was chairing the Strategic Planning Committee as a vice president, so probably 14 or 15 years ago. And the reason it was revised then was it was about a four-paragraph long mission, and we felt that we needed something that was more succinct and that people could really, you know, memorize and could be part of how they think about our institution.
Dr. Hill, I would say I think it's well written.
Mm-hmm. It does match the things we want to
recook the omelet.
And so I'll be bringing this, and then, you know, I would ask that somebody just move that we just maintain that is then, but the I'll be bringing this back to you just annually when we go over the strategic plan, we'll just formalize that. And when you accept that strategic plan report, that will be considering this as well, just that you're kind of re-accepting the mission at that point in time.
So, Dr. Hill, do we need to vote on the mission statement itself or your whole report here?
Just the mission statement itself is the piece that we need to consider now. During the part of the strategic planning process, when we go through that again, we will revisit the vision at that point, revisit the values at that point, and then, you know, after that, if strategic planning committee considers that, we would bring that to you as well.
Okay. All right, so is there a motion to approve the mission statement?
I'll move that the mission statement as presented be accepted.
Second.
So motion and second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Passes. Thank you. All right, next we have approval of non-financial consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve, or is there anything that needs to be pulled first? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
There's a motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Next, approval of financial consent agenda items. Anything need to be pulled? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Number good every time, Julie. All right. Facilities construction management updates. Chris Wellman.
Design last month. We had academic leadership, we had student services leadership. We got a follow-on meeting on the 4th and 5th. Trustee Gibson sat in on the design kickoff, and we got some great momentum going. We are, if everything goes for a plan, we're looking at spring 2025 to finish construction documents. The second priority, which is near and dear to me, is general maintenance, remodel, and renovation. And yes, it does include tile and painting, and it is, if you look in the CIP, it is basically our three-year deferred maintenance plan. And we have thousands of pieces of equipment and building components in our computerized maintenance management system, in our deferred maintenance program, that we track our deferred maintenance. And through our building inspections, through our planned preventive maintenance, we update annually our deferred maintenance needs. And if you look within the CIP, we're probably we're averaging about $7 million over the next 3 years of our prioritized deferred maintenance. So we're about $20 million. If you look at our total capital, our total replacement of our facilities and infrastructure, we're around $500 million. So we've got $20 million of deferred maintenance over the next 3 years, which is roughly 4% of our total replacement value. So that's also, that ratio is referred to as the facility condition index. That's an industry standard that you measure. I can tell you at 4%, that's outstanding. And our other 27 state colleges would love to be in the situation that we're in. And that didn't happen by accident. That's years of receiving adequate maintenance and repair funds. It's being diligent in how you spend that money. If you recall, we got the $6 million of CARES, Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund, about 3 or 4 years ago. And then we got another $8.2 million of deferred maintenance money that we're currently working on. Again, one-time, non-reoccurring funds that can't be used for salaries, but sure as heck helps us keep up with our deferred maintenance, which never goes away. It exponentially grows on you, and you're rocked from the inside out. So fortunately, we're in wonderful shape, and I'm thrilled that that's a number two priority for us. A number three priority, the health and human performance building, that's on our Brady campus. And the last thing I want to mention regarding the CIP, if you look in first section, the CIP 1, that's a list of all our current projects and their funding source. And we're sitting right now just over $16 million. You add in Paris, we're just over $56 million of current projects. That's a load. Again, whether that's public educational capital outlay, our capital improvement via CIF funds, our capital outlay debt service funds, our federal funds, and our fund balance, again, is all one-time money. I'm not apologizing for it. So, requesting board approval for our fiscal year 25 capital improvement program.
Question. Oh, fine.
Yes, Mark.
Well, as I understand it, none of these dollars could be diverted to salaries. Is that correct? That's law, right? Number one. Number two, how do you come up with these budgets? I know how, but I might want to explain to the board how we come up with where these numbers come from. With your computer data that I was showing up there, it brings up with a replacement.
You're talking about our deferred maintenance numbers?
Yeah, deferred maintenance.
Yeah, so we have
a pretty sophisticated system.
We have our three campuses. We have our 65 buildings. We have our 3,500 pieces of equipment. You plug in the year it was installed, the install price, and an air handler has a 20-year life, and it'll project out 20 years from now with whatever escalation you want to put in there what the replacement value would be. And that's how we come up with the roughly $7 million over the next 3 years for each year.
And you also have the ability, if a machine is working great, to redo that.
Yeah, so each year through our techs going out doing their inspections, we come back and we update based on that piece of equipment having an order failure.
Very sophisticated system that may have, and I congratulate you on that, because I spent a lot of hours down there listening to it, and that's how we come up with these numbers, and it's not just guesswork.
Oh, no, you kind of segue in this, because I didn't realize, because of lack of education on my behalf of the law, these funds can't be used for other sources. So I guess my question would be, maybe not to Chris, but who's responsible for classification of these funds? Who puts them in PICO and the CIF and the local dollars? Who does that?
That would be the legislature, who identifies that we can charge a fee,
capital
improvement fee. The legislature decides how much can go to PICO, how much goes to. We just request it when those dollars become available.
And then those dollars have to be used for those particular items.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Is there a motion to approve?
Move approval on the capital improvement plan for 2025-26 through 2029-30.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Julie.
Good evening. It's my pleasure to share with you 24-25 that we'll bring back to you in June for approval. I have some information similar to what Dennis provided us, and we'll go through that and some other things here. One of the things I want to start with is the amount of homes that we built from state appropriations. We look at that this slide, you'll see that per FTE, per student FTE, we're about $5,500. School of similar size with maybe some more workforce programs is Pensacola, they're nearly double what we are. Pasco, similar in size, 7,800, Polk, 8,900. So it's pretty remarkable in my mind that we're accomplishing what we're able to do with a couple of our friends.
Who can fix that? Is it the state legislature?
Yes.
And we gave them a plan, a year ago now, I guess.
Yes.
To bring this in, and they just didn't do anything with it. Is that right?
Well, this year the legislature has quoted to the governor for his approval money for health insurance for the college system. And I would suggest that that's going to offset some of these negatives. So if you look at the funding difference based on those FTE, we're about $15 million less than the average of these schools. As you may recall, the legislature asked for $9.8 million based on the funding formula that's out there, and it's for looking at us compared to all schools, not just these. Just so we are all up to date, local area unemployment rate through March is about 3.4%. This time last year, 2.7%, and in my mind, that's zero. Everybody that wants to work is working, which is a good thing for our community. This is an interesting slide that Dr. Hill provided me. The graduation rates for high school by area, the state of Florida is about 88%, Sarasota 90%, Manatee County only 82%. I think that probably reflected with income. But I found it very interesting that they're so close together, but so different. So the first thing you'll see in your packet is a marked-up version and a clean version of a proposed fee schedule for next year. The only changes that we're proposing are the elimination of the fees for these computer science classes. These fees were established, we had to buy individual licenses for students for software, and now it's a centralized license, and there's no charge back to the student. This largely cost us about $15,000 a year, but it's the right thing to do. Then the next section you'll see is the salary schedule, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So we'll see a number of position level changes, position limitations, title changes, non-recurring salary increases that we're going to propose to you for the coming year, and health insurance changes. So the health insurance changes, I'm just going to talk briefly. The community college system presidents went together and worked with the legislature to provide additional funding. And in the current budget bill, there's $80 million to help move the state colleges to the university and state retirement plan. I'm sorry, health insurance plan. The cost is about $80 million according to the state. I actually think that the anticipated increase in revenue for us, the increase in cost for us will be more than that. And I have some non-recurring funds reserved. They're estimating a 10-20% increase for people here who opt into this new program. I'm going to guess it's more like 40%. And I'm saying that because it takes family plans for our faculty staff from between $600 and $1,200 a month to $180 a month. You have dependents around the advent of plan. So we'll see if that happens. We're also proposing next month we'll give you a dollar figure, a non-recurring salary increase for all faculty and staff based on what we think we can generate out of our fund balance to pay for those.
Sorry, can you go back to the health insurance?
Sure.
We're moving the faculty and staff to the state of Florida health insurance plan out of our.
We're in an insurance consortium with the other colleges.
Right.
And our benefits are much more expensive.
Right.
So we're trying to move to the state.
They're moving to the state plan and they're providing funding help for that
Amen.
As well. Okay, I want to make sure I understood that. And then you're also saying that it will be cheaper for the staff, especially with those with dependents, because they don't charge as much for the dependents. Okay, I just want to make sure I understood that.
Okay.
And Julie, just to follow up on that, then that savings per month, every month, would average being, I can't remember your numbers, 400 to 800 or something.
Oh, that's
okay.
According to Julie, somewhere between, like you said, 600 and 1,200. So at $1,000 a month, this somebody would say that's a $12,000 a year
increase.
Right,
I was just going to say it's a kind of our initial payment.
Take
there,
so
it's
a substantial investment, and the presidents came together, all 28 of us, lobbied hard for this to happen, knowing that if they put $80 million toward that, it's likely that we weren't going to get $80 million toward recurring operating. They couldn't do both. But this is going to have such a substantial impact on our employees for recruitment and retention of employees. But we were also lobbying for our $9.8 million just for us.
And all state colleges are doing this? Or
So I have listed here some position changes for the salary schedule, understanding that many of these are not new replacements. I do have a couple of good ones that are self-supporting. Don't you look at this for a moment? Once again, I'm replacing some old titles. This is a new, again, self-supporting positions. Some hourly positions, we still have employees making $15, $16 an hour. Although we did raise everyone to $15, if you recall, about 2 years back. Collegiate school had some changes.
The collegiate school, did their salaries have to change to the state
regulation? But the state pays for it. Stipends, academic stipends, we have collected some that were left off, included a couple of new ones, and we have one looking for the present American position. Dr. Rick Close was happy to work for us for the long term, for the short term, I don't know, 3 years is long and short other manager stipends at the associate level paid the faculty. Program manager for baccalaureate level, noticing that this early childhood is for the early childhood program. And at the salary adjustment history desk, I have a little bit different CPI increase total than you do. I think it depends on the amount of time yours is for versus this one, or what time of year you look at. One of the things I do want to share, labor participation rate in this area, 83.5% is ages 25 to 54. If you look at the entire scope of working adults, that's about 67%. Once again, that tells me nobody needs a child. Our annual adjustments have been over the 10-year period approximately 15%. That is assuming that 2% in 2016 on a recurring basis. And we have had some non-recurring increments, and we're proposing them based on that. So while we're at 15% compared to 23 or 27, depending on if it's my number or your number, we've also included some enhancements like the quarterly work weeks. We have generous time off, winter break, the new health insurance enhancement we were just talking about, and paid professional development. So next month we'll bring back the salary schedule for you to approve. And if anybody has questions, I'm more than willing to entertain them, and you can call me. Yes.
We're going to have any data that shows our college salary wise against other colleges of our size.
Of our size? My doubt. I mean, we could make an effort to gather some resources.
I mean, I think it's important that the board knows that paying what is normal for a position of the 28 colleges.
Well, but when we look at those of similar size in our region, I think.
We did calculate or gather that information last year before we came to the board, so we could look at where we were, faculty salaries. But then we had to subdivide it into not faculty, but the rest into higher education specific and then local market competition. So, for example, your people in facilities aren't focused entirely on higher ed; they could work anywhere. So they're really a local market competitor versus a higher education competitor.
Yes, we have some of that information to update it.
Yeah.
Julie, I want to go back to the health insurance for a second. What percent of faculty and staff are utilizing the current health plan now?
Off the top of my head, Ms. Purple, or Derek, do they charge it in the back? Do you know?
I don't have that number.
We have to share that.
Pretty high.
Yeah, it's pretty high for individual, but not in the family coverage. It's very low.
Okay.
That's the same for local school districts as well, because the attendance cost, like even in Sarasota County, it's $800 to add a child.
Yeah.
Because their plans are so unionized rich that they have to pay a lot for the employee, but not a lot for the attendance. So I think this would be really nice.
Well, it sounds great. I'm just making the point that it doesn't impact somebody that's not using it. We hired somebody,
well,
and their husband works in aerospace, and she's on their plan, and I just walked out of the room like, yes, you know, I don't have to pay that, right? But if she needed it, we would have, right? So it's what we do in our personal health plan at my office doesn't impact her at all. That's my point. That's all.
So next month is admission and the long recruiting incentive plan where we have all the information about the budget and dollar. Operating budgets over time are pretty interesting here. You'll see that revenue has increased 27% in this 10-year period and expenses 41%. But I want to point out the difference is a lot of the difference is $4.7 million. They come to us for grants. If you take those non-recurring dollars out, the revenues increase 17% and expenses 35%. Noting that the retirement contributions here appear to have gone way up. During this period, we're required by the Government Accounting Standards Board to book the value of future pensions that we may pay someday, and that's part of what this growth is. State appropriations for the current year, we're at 34.1 this past year, we're at 34 this year. The difference is performance funding. We don't know why. I sent Dr. Hale about 20 charts to look at today that got from the system to explain the difference of this, and it's a complicated piece of work.
It's also not measuring us relative to ourselves, but it's relative to 28, total 28. So you could have a great year in terms of performance, and somebody else has a bluebird, and you actually get less money.
Nursing, non-recurring, the nursing pipeline grant, we got 1.8 last year, 1.7. Fleet course, the truck driving CDL grant that we manage for the CDL program, went from 3.8 to 3. If you add those together, you come up with a couple of $100,000 difference. The proposed care pricing is in here, and so we'll look to having $56.8 million. I also want to share where we are in tuition fees for the lower division. So 23-24 is estimated at 17.3, going up to 17.7. We are up in enrollment, and we are in the kind of enrollment that nets money, so we're hoping that the enrollment will continue to increase next year. Support from local government is the dual enrollment programs. We see that the funding for it go up next year. State support that we just saw on the previous page, however, is going down. Sales and service, we intend to make more money on our own this next year. The revenue, point this out, that's interest earned on our cash. And let's hope the economy stays in the position it continues after this. And that leaves us at 6.3, a difference of about $178,000. And that's half a percent of salary increase if we were able to do it. But we're based on a lot of the ifs here, so there's no opportunity to do that on a current basis. We are planning to use a number of dollars for non-recurring, and those include, but these are committed, the nursing enhancement balance. So the, what's left in the nursing money for this year, we will use for nursing in the next year. I'm proposing $300,000 on a non-recurring basis for the health insurance. And there's that GASB transaction that I mentioned a bit. It's just a non-cash transaction that we have to budget for. And there's the nursing new grant and the CDO. On the fund balance increase that you see here, that's about $1.7 million. But that's from Coding Academy, 26 West, CDL, Avocational and Nursing Excellence. Those are all committed dollars that we can't use for other things. So, Fund 1, we're expecting to give you a budget of $60 million in revenue and $68 million in expenditure. That's a little bit of a decrease, but the dollars here are from non-recurring grants and again, account transaction. So we get all finished with everything. We may have $440,000. For Fund 1 Upper Division, we anticipate an increase in revenue and offsetting expenditures with $131,000. Just so you know, Fund 1 Upper has to sell. Fund 2 are all of our grants and other activities. This is a student activity fee. Drivers improvement for a work study was set up in the two collegiate schools. So when you look at them total, this is planning 12.5 in revenue, 14 million in expenditures, and revenue over expense of 1.5. But again, that's balance is left from the previous year. We'll spend it here. Collegiate School Bradenton, notice that there's a decrease here. They had a grant that was paying for some positions, and the college, Dr. P, has approved using some of their fund balance, the fund balance that they have related specifically to the collegiate school, to run those positions again and go for funding for those finished. We expect a positive balance. And the Fund 7, this is capital construction. This is our current balance, remembering that we have some money in here for Parish Phase 1. Local funds, these are dollars from the CIF and a capital improvement fee that can only be used for construction. COMDS funds are our portion of vanity license plates from the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. PICO includes the new money and some of the old money we have that will be posted in the current year for capital. So that's the parish fund. For the most part, 8.2 for deferred maintenance, what we haven't spent. That was, again, dedicated strictly to deferred maintenance. So, with people I've got 35, As Chris mentioned earlier, expenditures are budgeted in 18, and with a leftover amount of 35 to get. This is almost all committed. So next month, we'll bring it back to you for approval. What can I answer for you?
So I liked hearing about the insurance, because that at least helps out a little bit. I mean, those are real numbers on a monthly basis. Just thinking out loud here, if we are partway through the year and that $440,000 that we have, you know, we hit that or above, it looks like we're really doing well. Is there any opportunity or to do like a one-time non-recurring salary, $1,000, something like that?
Yes. Dr. Rocio has proposed that for next year, and that's what I'll bring you back as a number for that in June. So you can see what happens with the state budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions?
Can I just add one thing, Julie? When we were looking at the slide of the variance in how we were funded relative to other institutions of that size, and talked about how this health insurance money would help that to some extent, but it will have no impact on the gap between us and the other institutions, because everybody, all institutions, will have some of that funding. So we'll still have that big deficit, so I anticipate that the college will want to continue pursuing trying to close that gap in the future for operating money.
This might be just another dumb question, because I've not been here long enough to understand everything, the workings of, so for example, of PICO and some of these dollars. How or who, like, is it a taboo thing for the board to discuss teacher salaries? Because there's a union, right? Mm-hmm. There's a union that we're unionized, and so they negotiate with you?
They negotiate with our bargaining team. I am not on the bargaining team.
Okay, so the bargaining team. So
Julie is on the bargaining team.
So they have a representative
yes.
that represents
yes.
them, and then they come to you and represent.
Yes.
Okay. But the board has nothing to do with discussing or deciding other than that, correct?
You sign off. The board has to sign off. So you make the ultimate decision.
Yes.
Right, and we give directions. We can give directions to the negotiating team
mm-hmm.
on parameters, et cetera.
Yeah.
We have a responsibility and authority there.
Yeah. Has the board ever had any sort of workshop or anything like that to discuss these things?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Can we do it again?
Oh, before me.
What is the date on this? When does it come to date?
When is the date on what?
Go to negotiations, we'll have to make a decision.
It sort of depends on the bargaining teams and their discussion back and forth. I believe their next meeting is in July.
July 9th, possibly, as a tentative meeting date we have.
Well, I recommend that we have some sort of formal.
Isn't one of the problems too that the governor has not actually signed the budget yet, and so we don't know for sure what he might line item out.
Right.
But is there anything creatively we can do as a board or administration to be creative and not just rely upon government entities to do what it is they do? Is there anything that we can do?
Well, we do a lot in that regard. We've done a lot of things to try and monetize our assets, like the whole arrangement with Fleet Force. We're renting those facilities. That's generating some of those auxiliary funds that Julie talks about. They're not auxiliary funds, the service, sales of service type funds that we generate. So we're looking at that. We're also looking at potential workforce housing on the campus that would allow us to generate revenue from property that's not currently being utilized. So we're doing everything we can, and it's been part of our strategic initiatives to look to diversify our revenue source to reduce our dependence on state funding and or the fluctuations in the economy.
And again, dumb question, but how does the foundation plans, how do they involve themselves in this plan too, or are they?
The foundation is looking to raise money for the institution. They do have and have been able to secure endowed positions for the college. We have a number of faculty positions that are funded through the foundation every year, so that is an objective of theirs to continue to look for those dollars. To the extent that the foundation can generate those endowed positions, that's money that's relieved in our regular operating fund. That we can
I'm just trying to figure out a way we all work together and have all units working together, and you know that's all I'm trying to figure. That's all my mission is to do as a board member, just trying to figure out how all branches of our institution work together, and if there's something creatively that we can do as a board to help them and them help us, whatever the case might be, that's what I'm trying to get to.
Our CPAs will work with the SEF, so we can creatively work with you.
Other questions from board members?
Nice job.
Thank you, Julie.
See you again next month.
All right, old business for the board. Anybody have any old business?
I just mentioned that I think Susan sent out to everybody the meeting schedule for next year. So if you have issues, if you could let us know sooner rather than later so we can get that on everybody's calendar. And get it certified for next year.
Okay, new business. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The other thing I was going to ask, if I could get kind of a show of hands of who will be available for our June meeting, because once again, we're kind of narrow on board members. We want to make sure we have a quorum for that meeting, so I need five. Okay, I've got
I'm
five.
Not sure yet.
So
I'm
please don't be sick.
I'm in the maybe.
Okay.
It's almost going to be imperative as soon as we get to our next new business here. But you're not a maybe. All right.
All right.
Let's move to new business. Under new business, we have some sad news that I'm going to start off with, and that's that Dom is resigning from the board, and this is his last meeting. So we have. Yes.
Does he get to take his picture home?
We should be reading that.
Yes, can I read it? Down.
I don't want that picture.
I don't want that picture.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, I'd like to read this. Thank you. Presented in appreciation to Dominic DeMeo. With sincere thanks for your dedicated service to higher education in our community and to the State College of Florida, Manatee, Sarasota, specifically as demonstrated by devoted service as a gubernatorial appointee and the SCF District Board of Trustees, distinguished leadership as board chair and vice chair, and immediate past chair. Support of and commitment to goals of the SCF Foundation, including as the Board of Trustees liaison from 2017 to 2020, being a consistent presence at SCF, participating in commencement ceremonies while a member of the board, and attending numerous student programs, activities, and foundation events. Consistent participation in college events, including commencement ceremonies. Serving as a legislative advocate for policies and initiatives that help students succeed, March 2017 to
May 2024. I don't have much to say. I want to say that I had a son that graduated here with his 2-year degree, went on to do great things, continues to do great things, and I gave you the devotion to the school back for what you need to make. So thank you.
I miss you, Dom.
All right. Any other new business? All right, let's board comments. Let's start with Mark. Any board comments?
Just quickly, if you'll notice on page 25 of your package, you'll see that we have a 26% increase in state funding for our two-year programs. I want you to know that this doesn't come by luck. It took a lot of hard work on Carol's part. This is mostly from the nursing program that we instituted, our commitment to double our graduating nurses. And our first class went in last September that with the double numbers. We met many times with Senator Boyd. And I want to thank Representative Gregory and Robinson and Boyd for their hard work in this regard, all led by Carol. We had to go out and get over half a million dollars from local people to support it. And then Senator Boyd met with the governor, and the governor decided it was such a good idea, he made it statewide for some reason, but anyway, that they would match those funds, which has allowed us to hire the professors that we needed to meet a national crisis, really, for nurses. As I told you before, state of Florida is 63,000 nurses down at this point. So anyway, I wanted to thank our representatives and our senator and Carol for their hard work. These numbers are real numbers. You saw on the screen a few minutes ago. These are real dollars for us and for all the other 28 colleges. So anyway, I wanted to just point that out and not let it just slide by.
Thank you. Jamie?
Well, I wanted to thank you all for your comments, and it's very interesting, and we do hear you. Dom, you will be missed. We miss you. And thank you.
Hi.
Two quick things. Some news from the foundation. As of the 17th of this month, with 4.5 months remaining, the gross revenue from fundraising is at $2,807,000, or about $836,000 over budgets. And, Ryan, one point about that. At the foundation, not all, but the majority of the money given is given for a specific cause, so it's not.
I knew that.
Yeah. Okay.
I've given before.
Right. So, but we love unrestricted gifts. That's great. That's the best. And then the second bit of just to save the date, so our next trustee meeting is June 25th. It's a Tuesday, as usual. And prior to that, we are having the SEF Library and Learning Center, Braden Campus, unveiling a naming ceremony honoring Dr. Carol Crosfield. Mm-hmm. And so we'd like everybody to be there. Arrival time, 4 o'clock. Start time at 4:15. We'll have a brief ceremony with podium presentations, media, and photos. And then we'll move inside to the air conditioner. So mark it on your calendars. That's it.
4 p.m.?
Thank you.
Arrive at 4 p.m. So we'll do this ahead of our next meeting.
It is indoors. I do understand June 25th is very warm. It will be in the Library and Learning Center in the atrium. I didn't want you to think that we would put you outside.
Awesome. All right. Tom, do you have anything?
I do. As my last comments leaving, I want to acknowledge everyone that spoke tonight. It's not been an easy 7 years, having seen tuition not rise in 7 years for the students. And I don't know how we continue to do that over time as well, when I see the cost of living in our area that has probably almost doubled. Real estate values have nearly doubled across the whole region. So it's not been missed. I don't want you to think that we sit here month after month and don't understand what's going on inside the economy. I'm a financial professional. I see it every day in financial statements, people's tax returns. For you to get up tonight and give the heart and soul that you did, it's meaningful, and I think the board will do what's absolutely possible to be done to support the school to do the right thing. So thank you for speaking.
Ryan?
I don't get the last year. I'm always last.
Got to attend my first graduation ceremony. Dr. P's last, I got to go. It was pretty cool.
You behaved yourself.
Of course. Except for I didn't get my cord. I'm still a little disappointed I didn't get my cord.
We'll find a good extension cord and wrap that right around your neck.
Oh, good. But I do. I also want to thank you guys for your comments. I know it's not easy. And I just reiterate what Dom said. One of the reasons why I became a board member was because of the passion that you guys share too. I also grew up and was basically born at this college, And here we are full circle. So I totally get it. And your passion speaks volumes to me. I believe the SCF just like you guys do. And it'd be easy to tuck and run, and you don't. And so that's a really noble thing. And just know that this board and administration, we're going to really try hard to figure all this stuff out in the future. So I just wanted to say that, too, because it's hard to do with you guys.
Taylor?
Thank you guys for speaking as well. Appreciate it. The only other thought I had was apropos of there are a couple of board applicants. Do you have an idea of timeline approval?
I wish we did. We've had applicants that have been in there for my entire time as president. And there's just no telling when and how or who the governor will choose to approve.
And I assume he is aware of our issues of not being that many quorums.
Dom actually worked on that when he was resigning. He was trying to make sure that we'd be covered, and he talked.
I spoke directly to Chelsea Iron. She's the director of
appointments
right now, and she said she will do the best to fast track a replacement.
Okay, so there is one that I know applied in the last one. I didn't know if there was a hierarchy of like first
like
to apply or
the area.
There's really been no rhyme or reason, and frequently we have board members assigned who didn't even apply. So it's kind of
it's not an easy process.
Kind of waiting to see what that means.
I'm a year past due on being reappointed.
I'm sorry?
I'm a year past due being reappointed.
That's right, yes.
Oh, fascinating. Okay.
I went 2 years before I was reappointed.
Never
so we thank you for those who have not been reappointed.
What the heck am I doing?
It's an interesting process.
The governor doesn't want me. I wish you'd just tell me so I could come to meetings.
We do regularly communicate with our lobbyists, with Meth's husband and Notton, who have relationships in the governor's appointments office to say, you know, we have applicants, please consider them, and we really need additional board members.
All right, I'd like to just make it kind of unanimous with the board, but we all do hear you. We're not geniuses at making this work. We know there's a need for more. I have seven of my children live in Sarasota and Manatee counties, and they are flipping it all the time to try and pay the bills, and it's not easy at all. We know the salary schedule. We know what people are making. We know it's not easy. I think we're doing the best we can, and that's not a satisfactory answer. And I get that, but I think we're still gonna, I think we're gonna be able to find some ways, maybe being optimistic, but I think we're gonna be able to find some ways to be able to help somewhat anyway. So you are not being ignored when you speak to us.
Thank you.
All right, and with that, I'm gonna miss Dom too. Okay.
That's terrible.
We're adjourned.
Man.